J'imagine.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware on the radio itself. However, you can tune in on the internet anytime simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And as you know, you can also go to Alexa, 860 AM radio from 11 AM until 12 noon on Wednesdays. However, you can also go to Alexa and just call up American Workers Radio podcast, and it'll also come up 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, thanks for tuning in. Contact family members and friends and invite them to tune in as well. And thank you so much for emailing copies of our radio broadcast that Henry Chaplinsky sends out each week to all of you, our supporters, and thank you for signing up, letting us know that you're out there listening and very concerned about the community and all that we are doing. My first thing today is thank you to Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, a great panel member, a man who's done unbelievable work, and we're going to salute him and all of our other panelists. Larkin Connolly, national small business advocate, Rich Logis, principal of RJL Technology Integration, our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash. Always pleased to be with you here, doing our best to promote America and American made. Well, it's hard to believe it's June 16th, and we see that time waits for no one. Just a few months ago, we were talking about, hey, Happy New Year and all the things we were going to do. Here it is. We just passed Flag Day on the 14th. We celebrated, and by the way, it was great to see all those flags flying everywhere. I've never seen so many flags in front of people's homes and businesses. I think people are really starting to get that real spirit that we have to get together and help one another if we want to move forward in the future. There's a lot of things going on. Well, this Sunday is also Father's Day, and may I just pause to say thank you to all the fathers and grandfathers, the tatas and the jajus in our audience who are doing their things to promote our broadcast, working hard, and after retirement now, everybody is doing their things to help promote American Made because their children and grandchildren also need long-time jobs. Also, I'd like to, before I get into the next thing that I'm going to talk about, is I have a special announcement. The Philly Shipyard in Philadelphia is hiring apprentices. The company won a major contract from the United States Maritime Administration to support an enterprise program. The apprentices are paid employees from the first day. They are looking for people to fill 100 jobs. They need welders, Mark, machine operators, fitters, production supervisors, and maintenance techs. The shipyard is hosting an on-site down there at Broad Street, a career fair this Saturday, the 19th, from 9 in the morning until 12 noon. Information on the shipyard fair is available on its site. Go to phillyshipyard.com. That's phillyshipyard.com. Now, also, there's been a tremendous amount of money given through the CARES Act and the American Rescue Program to America schools. And I think that's very good. Many of the school districts want to use the money to fix the schools up, paint them up, do whatever they want to do. However, I would like to see all those extra or a portion of the extra money from the government go to making all of the schools more ready to have shop classes, trade classes, and things that will be able to help their students for many years in the future. Restoring the trade programs is long overdue. It's time for America's students to recreate competitive things within our own economy, not be waiting for all the stuff to be shipped over from another part of the world. And among schools in the process that are already talking about technology services and things like that, I think this should be a very big fight by the parents and the grandparents to call the schools, to call the elected officials, to call the neighborhood board, the board members of the schools, and say, look, we have to have something in addition to nice paint jobs and things like that. We have to recreate. And people tell me, oh, Michael, it's very hard to get people to teach. I said, okay, because they don't have any experience. Okay, then Mark, you'll be able to agree or disagree with this. Then they have to go to private industry and pull these people in from private industry to teach for 3 years, 5 years, until additional teachers who are already certified as teachers are able to be proficient in those services. It just doesn't make sense to me. Knowledge is power. Just look at the cell phones, the computers, the chips for our automobiles, all coming foreign made. I ask anybody to stop me and let me know where their phone was made in the United States of America. I'm sorry, I asked people all week before I made that statement. We don't have a cell phone or a computer made in the United States. People say, oh, I use Mac, I use this. Guess what? China is where the stuff is coming. Foxconn and all these other places. America's young people need to know that knowledge is power, that having a trade is power. Having a trade, learning a trade in school is something they will never forget. They'll never lose. And if they don't go into that industry, they'll be able to use it to fix their own homes and be handy about the house. I'd first like to turn today to Mark Andel. Mark, a lot of compliments on your being on the broadcast last week. Thank you for always being here. I know you're a busy man, but Mark takes time every Wednesday to be with us on the broadcast, and I want you to know how much you are appreciated. Mark, tell me what you think about the schools getting all these billions. I'm talking big billions. I mean, just in the state of Pennsylvania, billions and billions. The city of Philadelphia got $1 billion for the schools. Let's do something to restore the trades. What do you think?
Absolutely, Mike. I hope you're doing well, and Larkin, I think, is going to join us, and Rich, and Henry, thanks for making us sound good every week and always. So much going on, Mike. So, yes, I agree. You know, that's a lot of money to put in the school systems, and they have to wake up and use common sense and realize the metal shops, wood shops, skilled trades. The kids have to get exposed to it at a younger age. They have to develop these programs. Again, I sat on a lot of school boards, six of them, and with Dream It, Do It, PTEC program, all these programs. So I hope they use that money, because a lot of the budgets were cut, and then the pandemic came, and a lot of these programs, all the traction we had and was building up, was lost, unfortunately. And it is a start-over mode, and I hope they use that money well. I want to talk about a few things, Mike, going on. And with the Made in America movement, and with all, so there's some brutal facts of the current reality, and the number one is product shortage. So product shortage is very important for General Welding, Made in America. If we can't get product, we can't sell the product. You don't even need your salesman, because there's nothing to sell. So this is hitting us hard. I've been on a leading edge of it from the beginning, through the pandemic, and now you got rapid inflation, so everything's 100% plus. Steel's at $1.25 a pound, was at 47 cents in wood and rubber and plastic. So we know that, but the product shortage, if it's new vehicles, I sell snow plows, we upfit trucks, you can't get new vehicles or used vehicles, so it affects us. We can't get trailers to sell, so we ordered 81, we've got 7. We're manufacturing our own trailers, but the new cost is double, so people need to get educated, because they think our trailers are ridiculous, the price, but they're getting educated rapidly when they're buying materials and supplies. We've got fuel charges just coming in, Mike, big time this week. So Diesel's up 30-something percent, which is a shame because we had kind of that made. We were self-sufficient. And we're getting, you know, these bulletins from our companies, our suppliers, saying, hey, $15 surcharge, you know, diesel's up 30%. Why is it diesel? Most of your delivery trucks are running on diesel. So we're seeing all these extra costs. The flags I want to talk about, the American flags, you know, again, I brought it up on the show before. We ordered 1,000 flags a month ago, and we got 200, and yet we pushed Flag Day, and we've pushed, we got the 4th of July coming. So Annan Flag, our big supplier, and Valley Forge Flag in PA, Mike, can't find workers to put these flags together, so we have none. We're just about, well, we have probably 50 left. And then we found a new company Monday called Atlas, and they said, yeah, we got flags, we'll send you 300. Well, that salesman was very good because yesterday we got a call that he was wrong, and our inventory manager said you can only have 25. So there's, just think about worker shortage, no flags, not material shortage, worker shortage, no flags. We have companies closing because of worker shortages left and right now, which is crazy in America. So these people have a paid vacation, no matter how you look at it. I'm not saying some people don't need the extra 300 or whatever. It they've made huge mistakes, but and it's up to the states, which we agree we want. But we just had a big meeting about our fair, Mike, and you know, do we do the fair or not? And the fair can only open at 50%. They're trying to change right now, but our big question: can we get products, enough products to sell at the fair to make a dollar after we pay our expenses? So I want to ask the panel. I mean, the product shortage, the rapid inflation. What's going on now, and the shortage of workers? And Larkin, I want to tell you, you said once, I asked, how do we get to our youth? Mike, you said education. Larkin, you said importance. We got to make it important to kids. So that's been my topic with my team, my other radio station. How do we make Made in America important? And I asked a guy that owns the puzzle company yesterday, and he said, well, it's important to me because my grandfather started this business. That was his importance in 1973, White Mountain Puzzles. But I want to ask again the importance. We got to, how do we make this more important and get people not only to shop on my website or whatever, but to go out and do their part by Made in America? But this worker shortage causing the product shortage, Mike, needs to be discussed.
Well, you're absolutely right. And I'll tell you this, working in human services, I'm seeing more and more people pleading for retired workers to come back to work to cover up for the worker shortage, for the people said they won't be available to come back maybe until the fall. They don't want to go off the program, and that's the bottom line. But the major concern everybody is talking about, so it may be helpful, that how little experience in the actual job world that the lawmakers and even some of the hierarchy in the businesses have. Many of them are way up there, attorneys and whatever. They don't have a lot of experience what it takes to maintain a business, how to bring product to the business. They have no experience. They would never allow, I would never allow this to continue. If I saw that there were 9 million people collecting that extra $300, and I saw that there were 12 million businesses asking for workers, guess what would happen to the extra money? Goodbye. I would be my side, walk right over to the House and Senate, say, Nancy, move over, I have a few words to speak to you. And that's what I would do. But these people are so far into the clouds. There is a major crisis now, a major crisis, because we have no people to replace the people that are retiring. No people.
And you have nobody that wants to work. They're getting a paid summer vacation, and they won't come back. This is from every top CEO and vendor I'm talking to, Mike.
Oh, absolutely.
This product, they won't come back, is huge. And they can't. You can't make up the bubble of last year of all the sales you lost. And you can't even do half the sales because you don't have your workers. This is a huge, huge problem.
Well, you know, because we do the radio program and do the whole Buy American Made campaign, employers do call us on a regular basis and ask, do we have anybody looking? You know, we'll train them. We'll give them an extra $500 as long as they stay a year or 6 months or whatever the deals are. The thing is, they don't have any people walking in the door. Where you had 10 people walking in the door, you know, a couple of years ago, you have nobody walking in the door now. Of course, the pandemic, did do some problems to make people scared, and that once the children had to stay home, many parents had to stay home with the kids because the kids didn't understand all the virtual learning programs and all. But now many retired people are telling me they're asked to come back even to do part-time work on the busy times of the day. And even some people that they know were not in that field, but they need people in restaurants and stuff like that. They're pulling these people who are retired in. You know, and sometimes when I hear that, I say to myself, this may come back to backfire on the people sitting home. And I'll tell you why I say that. Because if an employer gets the point that you're not a sincere employee, that you just work at your own will, already you're showing that you're not a valued employee. And if that person has to go out and replace you because you refuse to come back, then that already puts a bad mark against you. 10 years ago, no person could be on unemployment if the employer indicated that they needed that person back. Do you remember that, Mark?
Yep.
You reported it to the Unemployment Bureau, and they then send you a notice that you are being requested, that don't waste your time, look, you know, sending us notices that you're looking to for jobs and stuff like that. Your original job wants you back, period. And you have 10 days to be there or your check is cut. Well, that system has to be reinstated. How about we turn to Larkin? Dr. Larkin Conley, how are you?
Good morning, Michael, and good morning, Mark, and Rich, and Henry, and our listeners. I apologize for missing last week. I slept in.
Good.
Yeah, I did.
Did you listen to the rebroadcast?
I did.
Okay, that's all that matters.
I got indoctrinated. I apologize for sleeping in, but see, in my world, every day is Saturday. But I've decided to change that. Every day is Saturday except Sunday, and Sunday is Sunday. So I can't be asked to lift anything or do anything or cut anything or put anything on. I can't. Sunday is Sunday now. That's a do-nothing day. Boy, it's pathetic to be retired. It really is. It'll catch up to your psyche pretty quickly. Listen, workers and supplies. Let's temper this whole thing by saying United States of America has got some really, really serious problems. I mean, problems that if one of these problems 10 years ago would have had us pulling our hair out and running around like it was on fire. We now have all of these hitting us at once. We have a lack of workers and supplies, which is an indication of the supply thing is an indication of a change in the economic marketplace, basically called inflation if you're lucky, depression if you're not. We have a debt problem. We have a border problem. We have a foreign affairs problem, which belongs to the United States of America. When I say United States of America, I say both parties. Doesn't make any difference whether you're a Democrat or Republican. And what I see coming on in the next two elections, the midterm in 2022, what I see coming on is the lawn signs that say reelect nobody, because nobody's doing the job. Certainly neither side in Congress and Senate. I sit here with in my head virtually spins when I stop to think that the vice president, who was told or asked by the president to handle the immigration issues and the problems that we have at the border, has yet to visit the border. And she makes jokes about it.
Yeah, that I don't understand. You know, Larkin,
it makes no sense. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
I was a guest on a radio program. I have to tell you this because you're going to like this. And the person said to me, what would you do to stem this problem where the Congress wants to keep allowing these people to come in and blah, blah? I said, well, since the taxpayers were not asked their permission for the people to come in, I'm suggesting this. I said, I think that all the elected people should take their personal wealth, sell their houses, empty their bank accounts, and give it to support people coming into the country at our southern border. Let's see how they would react if that was the only way to support it. Sure, everybody wants to be a big deal with somebody else's money. With taxpayers' money, we want this, we want that. And in fact, in January, they allowed all these people to come over. 5 months later, they're announcing they don't want them anymore. Don't come. Don't come. We should have never changed the policies. There was enough sense in the last few years that we can't have this coming to our country. If we don't have 9 million people ready to fill the, or 12 million people to fill the jobs that are open right now, that would pay the taxes, why are we bringing more mouths to feed? And by the way, when those people come to the border, they are on the government's dole. Somebody has to pay for their housing, their medical care, their breakfast, their lunch, their dinner. This is not what people think it is. Oh, well, we're letting them in. Where do they go? They put them on buses and they send them to other states, and they are then on the dole of the state. This has got to stop. It should be on the ballot. If we want to allow people in, we want to take a 2-year break, a 3-year break, whatever. It has to come to some kind of an end. Yes, Larkins.
Well, what you're saying is exactly right. And the problem is that the people who are elected, appointed, I don't care how they get there, aren't doing their job. They're arguing about whether they're blue or red. They're arguing endlessly about, I don't even know what anymore. We sent the vice president, who was in charge of illegal immigration, we didn't send. She decided to go to Guatemala and Mexico to figure out what the problem is. And she made an announcement in Guatemala, do not come.
Yeah.
Now, is that a new policy of the country? I'm not exactly sure.
Neither am I.
So, is there a policy? Did she make any decisions? Has she had a press conference? I mean, what in God's name is she doing? I don't get it. It has nothing to do with being a Democrat or Republican. It has everything to do with, I just don't get the job she's doing or what her, I mean, I don't get it. I really don't. And it doesn't make any difference. If our workers don't get back to work, and if our end users don't turn to the lumber companies and say, we don't want your lumber, we're done. We're going to go buy lumber in Canada.
Well,
we're going to go buy lumber someplace else. We're not going to buy your lumber. The damn prices will come down precipitously, quickly, and get back to where they belong. We can't put up with it.
You're absolutely right. Oh, Larkin, you and I are on the ball today. That's right.
We cannot tell builders to keep on building no matter what they have to pay for the house, because that house that is selling for $300, $325, $350 typically is going to go to $450 overnight just to cover these increases. So, no, I'm sorry. You don't house America by all your new builds being $450,000. I am, and not a word. I mean, not a word from anybody in Washington.
Nothing.
Republicans
that's
haven't
the problem.
Said anything. The Democrats haven't said anybody. Nobody. Cabinet members, current presidents, senators on both sides, congressmen, we've not heard a word about three or four of the most serious problems that this country has faced in a long time, all at once.
And that's the whole problem.
And by the way, Larkin, according to the debt clock, 40 million Americans, people living in the United States of America, are living in poverty or at a poverty level that's not, you know, because they don't have a job, many have disabilities or whatever. They're living in poverty, and we want to bring more people to live in poverty or take the jobs. I want to get these people trained. All of they're talking in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania and New Jersey what they're going to do with this money that they got, this Santa Claus fund that we're going to be paying for. My kids and grandkids will be paying forever. They want to fix up the schools, paint them, beautify them, the whole deal. How about making certificate programs so that boys and girls can graduate with heating and air conditioning certificates, some sort of trades, welding, woodwork, the things we need in this country.
But, Mike, you know, they're giving away free money. And, you know, the culture change, the pivot point is, you know, you used to have dignity, want to work. Now they're questioning they're just going to sit back, collect as much free as they can, and then get back to work. That was never America. We had the can-do spirit, never quit. You know, it's just an example. I want to give you one example of a job. Larkin, you'll appreciate this. The job we did for 20 years, it was quantity 50 items. The purchase order was for $10,500. The steal in that job was $5,000 last December. Well, we won our first job back. Like, hey, great, you're supposed to just take it. Hey, let's check the prices of the steel. That steel, instead of $5,000, is now $10,040 in that $10,500 job. So you can't take the job at what it was. So you reprice it, it's got to be an $18,000 job. This is what's going on out there. And if you're not sharp and catch it and just take a job or a purchase order, you're going to go out of business because you're not making a dollar. But like you said, Larkin, it's a tough situation because they're just running wild with these prices on our supplies.
You know, Mark, maybe this is a time to get some of the people who are steel buyers and start at getting the industry to tell them exactly what the problem is. Okay,
yeah.
It's been the pandemic. A lot of things have been restored. They can certainly restore three shifts a day to get to back where they should. What is going to bring the price back to where it was pre-pandemic? That's the bottom line.
That's the question. And how long? I've talked to some key buyers for companies. They see no end in sight, and that's the scary part.
Well,
no,
that's where what Larkin said is somehow this has got to be addressed.
You want an end in sight? Stop buying. Stop buying and stop buying. Does it bring the economy to a halt for a short period of time? Yes, I'm sorry. But, you know, it's like saying we've got to have a battle here, but we don't want anybody to get hurt. Sorry, that's not the way it works. But somewhere along the line, we have to just stop buying. You know, there's a chain in, I'm going to tell you, this is an explanation of how bad it is. There's a chain out of Texas called Buc-ee's. And they're a Wawa type chain. They're a very large. I mean, they've got 150 pumps and the inside of the store is like a mall. It's the biggest store I've ever been in, ever. And people go in there with grocery carts shopping to buy shirts and hats and shoes. It's a very impressive platform to sell. Their starting wage, and I got to put my glasses on to see this, because sometimes I find it. Their starting wage for cashiers, food service, gift, and warehouse work is $15 to $17. Their maintenance for car wash, those workers who work in the car wash, $16 to $18. Team leaders, $17 to $20. Assistant managers, $22 and up. Management trainees take over stores as they come along, $26 and up. Guess what they have hanging at every door in the two stores they have?
Help wanted.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, this is getting scary.
Exactly.
You know, Larkin, here's something very interesting. Back 10 years ago, we had 287 million people living in America. This year, right now, as I'm looking at the debt clock, we have 333 million people in the workforce. back in the year 2020, there were 2020, there were 159 million people working at full and part-time jobs. Today, with 50 million more people in America, we only have 151 million people working. That's 9 million people that are not working, but we have 50 million additional people in the country. So it's, you know, of course, a lot of them are children and all, but you have to consider that doesn't make sense. When I look at the unemployment, actually unemployed today in the United States, as 16,542 people, people that could be back to work immediately if they didn't have that money, 9,790,000 people could be back at a job if they didn't get that extra money and need to stay home or want to stay home. However, there's also an additional 10 million people that could be and should be in the workforce but are not out there looking for jobs.
And, you know, when back in the day when we had unemployment, and I personally still complained about the way it was administered, in order to get your benefits renewed monthly, you had to go in and sit down and show them signature,
right,
hard paper proof that you had applied for jobs in different places and couldn't find it.
Right.
And then now, you don't even have to go in. You do it online.
You do it on the phone. I mean, they call up all the time at our agency. Oh, do you need anybody? No. What's your name? You know, all this kind of stuff. It's all bull. It's got to come to some kind of a halt, and it better come to a halt fast.
And you know what's going to happen at the term, at midterms coming up? The Democrats will lose the Congress, and I'm serious about this. The Democrats will lose the Congress, and they'll lose the Senate. They'll go back to Republican control. The Democrat in the White House, and we'll still not get anything done.
Nothing will be done. Larkin, this has been going on for 30-plus years. It's Democrats and Republicans. They should all retire, whether they're retirement age or not, and let some new people, but people who are running for election, that put their ideas in writing, who come on radio shows and television shows and give facts and figures. And if they don't do the facts and figures, then you're not even considered to be up for re-election or election. The thing is, we allowed people to just not be concerned about the political parties or the elections or what the candidates have to say. It killed America's workforce, totally killed it, because for 35 years, as all these deals were being made, oh, this is no good to be made in America. Let's send it over there. Let the pollution be over there in China. The world is round. As the world turns, the pollution from China ends up in America anyway. That doesn't make any kind of sense what these people, but because it was greed, total greed, that they would send the jobs over there, bring it to America, sell it for 10 times more than they bought it. This is right. What was allowed to happen. I went into the store. I did look at the flags. Mark Annan has their flags, but they're not in large supplies. The foreign-made flags are there, but you can see the quality of the foreign-made is nowhere near.
Mike, I get everybody to agree that our flag should be made in the United States of America. That's the one item I leave. That's the message I leave every bus that comes, that
Mark,
our flag
say,
should at
something?
Least be made.
Hi, everyone.
God hey, bless Richard. You. Here, let's hear from Rich Lodgers. We didn't hear from you
Hi,
for
everybody.
2 weeks. You know, some people said they were lonely for you, Rich.
Well, they, you know, absence will make the heart grow fonder. Right, Mark?
Oh, yeah.
Or in my case, it'll just remind you why you dislike me all over again.
No, the people don't dislike you. They really don't. They enjoy that you have, you're full of energy and you're not afraid to say what's on your mind. And I like that. We have to be careful what we say because, you know, all these FCC rules and all watch us. So I'm always pretty careful about that. Even when I go on other shows, I'm very careful, but I say what I want. And then I listen to the callers who call after I was on, who agree with me and say, why don't we have those trade programs back in the schools? I knew my son or my daughter was not going to be college material, but they pushed her through grade school, high school, and college, and now she has no job and no skills. Yes, Rich.
Well, I promise everyone at the studio now, don't worry. You don't have to get the delay button ready. You don't have to get the mute button ready. But I have a couple of, and I'm happy to be back. Good morning to everyone. And so a few points, no order of priority. So because I've missed a few weeks, I wanted to make mention of everyone that my Made in America purchase this week was a health and medicine item that I needed. And I had an option, Mark, of getting it American-made or foreign-made. And so I chose the American-made version. It was slightly more expensive, but everything has a cost, right, Mark?
How much do you mean when you say slightly?
It was $5 more.
Okay.
It was $5 more. So, it wasn't an expensive item, but it was more expensive, costly, whatever you want to use as an adjective, to get the American made. But Mark, as you always, right, have said, and we say, that everything has a cost. There's a cost to never buying American, and there's a cost to buying American. So what's a better use of that cost? To buy American. And that day, Mark, I happened to be wearing my wonderful blue American flag hat that I got from your store, Mark, and it arrived, and thank you. And actually, the person at the counter commented on the hat and said, that's a really nice hat. And I showed him the photo on your website. And then I asked him this question. I said, don't you think it's dumb to wear clothing with an American flag made in China? And he just looked at me. I mean, he gave me a look like I forgot to put my pants on before leaving the house. And he said, yeah, that doesn't really make a lot of sense. And we had a little bit of banter. And I said to him, Mark, what we always say, that there's a cost to not buying American, and there's a cost to buying American. What's a better use of our money? And so that was my American-made moment, Mark. And Larkin, what Larkin is saying here, I have a comment and my solution. And I hope that everyone's getting sick and tired of hearing my solution, because it means that it's starting to have an impact, Mark. Like, it's like, oh, here comes Mark, the Made in America guy. That means you're having an impact, Mark. Because you're not in the business of making friends. If you want to be in the business of making friends, start a dog walking agency. Oh, here comes Mark, Made in America guy. Oh, here comes Rich. I know what he's going to say. Larkin, all of what you said, it's all accurate. All the problems, a vice president absent from where she should be. But here's the answer. Here's the singular statement that sums it all up. Vote blue, no matter who, no matter what. It doesn't matter what happens for the individuals who had a singular goal in mind in November. Mark, what was the singular goal of the vote blue, no matter who, no matter what group in the country this past November? What was their goal?
To win.
Right, to oust the guy in office, right? Okay, now that that was achieved, now what? Doesn't matter. So what's the solution to it? Oh, here comes Rich. I know what he's going to say. Right. You know damn well what I'm going to say, which is this. What is everyone doing, Michael, to save their states? You want to save America? You want better members in Congress, a more effective governor, a more effective legislature, more effective school board members. Fill in the blank, Mark. Save your state. If you're not doing that, then everything else is just the proverbial running around with the chicken without its head on, trying to figure out what to do while everybody pontificates. But that requires work, Larkin, what I just said. And work interferes with all of our myriad pursuits of pleasure. So everything has a cost. Freedom, Mark, has a cost. You know what else has a cost? Freedom's a lot of work, Mark. You know what else is a lot of work, Michael? Serfdom. Serfdom's a lot of work also. So I find it shocking, and maybe I shouldn't, Markin, that almost halfway through the year 2021, I commonly have conversations with adult-age men and women to remind them that everything has a cost, because they've all forgotten that. Now, why have they forgotten that? Well, let's see what's happened in the last few months. Magic money. Hey, if you've got kids under a certain age, we got $600. If you got two kids under a certain age, Larkin, $600 is going to start appearing in our bank account the 15th of every month for the rest of the year. Not a bad deal, right? Who cares where the money comes from? Who cares where it came from? Who cares? Magic money. Who cares?
Well, you're right.
What do you guys think about what's happening? Go ask the Vote Blue, no matter who, no matter what crowd, what's going on. Hey, what do you guys think about what's going on at the border? What do you think about what's going on in inflation? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? And they'd say, I don't care. All that matters is getting the other guy out of office.
You know what? You'll get an answer similar to the one that was given the other day when it was proposed that all national holidays be eliminated so that we don't offend each other.
Yeah. You heard that, didn't you, Mark and Rich and Mark?
Yeah.
And now, let me just explain what that means. In other words, what they're saying is that the 11-day holidays that we have, like Veterans Day, Thanksgiving Day, Christmas Day, New Year's Day, would just be listed on the calendar as holiday. That way, those people that are not veterans would just be able to know that they have that day off on November 11th. And the Thanksgiving Day would just be that day off. It's a day off. Larkin, when you heard that, what did you think?
Well, I did the same thing that Mark did. I laughed pretty hard. And I thought, they can't be serious. I mean, you really can't. I don't care if you're red, white, blue, orange, green, fuchsia. I don't care what your party affiliation is. To suggest that to me is an insult to any individual who voted for that individual. I mean, are you really, really serious?
Mm-hmm.
Has woke gone that far? I mean,
taking the country apart one thread at a time.
You know, Larkin, this is something that will give you an idea. It's that idea of making it just a day off is totally idiotic as far as I'm concerned. But there's something else that happened this week, and I think it might be something we could talk about. You know, the Paycheck Protection Program that was enacted when the pandemic began, the idea of it was to help businesses keep people on the payroll. You know that, Mark, very well. And that was for 8.5 or 9 weeks. And they did it twice over the period of the like 12 months. So it was the first program for PPP, Paycheck Protection Program, that was for 8 weeks. And then there was another 8 weeks. The business owners, of course, we know that in a year, we have 52 weeks. So one of the political, very, very unrealistic people said, well, that's part of like operating a business. You have to take a chance. So if you kept your people on board for the 34 additional weeks. Well, that's just the way it goes. Right now, the pandemic, we're in the 68th week of what we call the pandemic, coming out of the pandemic. So that means out of 68 weeks, America's small businesses and nonprofits got 16 weeks of assistance. The rest was on them. If they borrowed the money, if they had to sell something, whatever, the rest is on them. But it's the political people in Washington that say, oh, well, that's part of operating a business. Did you go through that, Mark?
Oh, absolutely. So you know, our payroll's, you know, 50,000 every Monday. Larkin knows he always talks about sleeping with that. You know, PPP was helpful. I won't say it won't. You've got to fill out an application to be forgiven.
That's right. But
that's
Mark,
not clear.
But
you're not
you
absolutely
got
forgiven.
You got a total of 16 weeks out of the last 68 weeks.
Right. Exactly. It got eaten up quick.
So where did you get the rest of the weeks from?
You come up, just like you said, you hit it at the head. You sell things, you sell your inventory, you come up with ways, and it's tough. You don't replace the lost sales you didn't have
Never.
In the last 60
Never.
Months. You go forward, and you try to make it up, and it's going to take 3 to 5 years.
Now, here is where these clever, good people in Washington, and I won't give names, but you know who this one particular woman I'm talking about is. She said, well, they should have then, after the first 8 weeks, put the people on unemployment. The reason for that is because every employer, you know this better than anybody, Mark, pays into the unemployment fund. It just doesn't come from the sky like, woo, here's the unemployment fund. America's businesses pay into the unemployment fund. Her point is, drain the funds that the employers have on reserve in the states, and the hell with it all. Everything today should be just woo, like Resurrection Sunday. Poof, everything is back to normal, and all the 50 weeks that you wasted, you got screwed on. It's tough luck. This is what I'm saying. These kinds of people should resign in disgrace, not just resign, but resign in disgrace. Leave and just say, I did enough damage to America. Let new right. people, but the new people coming up, you better be on your game, Rich, to question all the new people coming up. And I'll make that time available. You know, our radio program, you can get it now on HD and everything else. The station is, everything's expanding, FM, radio, the whole deal. So we will have more ways to access people, but we need tough people, people who are not afraid to say what's on their mind.
And Mike, why these certain politicians are so off their focal point is because they never had
employees.
They don't understand it at all.
They have no idea. Good Nancy, God bless her. She never had to pay unemployment or anything. She just hired them. Oh, well, I'm now in this position or that position, and in that position allows me to have 20 people or 30 people, whatever it is. And that's it. She has no idea. They need to go into the communities, into the neighborhoods, into the streets that are falling apart, into the schools that should have had the trade programs put back into those schools 25 years ago, after they saw how they were screwing the American youth by not having skills and skill certificates when they walked out of the building. Some of these people are having graduations, and the press asked them, well, what's your next step? And they're standing there baffled. They don't know what to say. Well, maybe I'm going to go to be a teacher. After you're graduating college, you're going to decide to be a teacher? You should have done that when you were in high school and through college.
Michael, one of the, I hate to use the word Republican because I don't talk to just Republicans, Larkin, okay? But people who generally identify as Republicans and conservatives and you know, right-leaning independents, we call them NPAs here in Florida, Michael, no party affiliations. If there is a trait that I have figured out about our group collectively, I'm not going to say every member, but collectively, let me tell you what one of the traits, Mark. One of the traits is that we we continue to wage war in wars that are over. Okay, if you're still waging, not you guys, but rhetorically, if anyone is out there still waging the war over the 2020 election, you're not waging war because the war is over.
Right.
It's done with, Larkin. It's ended. It's the Japanese soldier for 30 years scouted the island, Larkin, not realizing the war ended 30 years previously and didn't believe anyone when they told him, no, the war is, you're not fighting a war because there is no, we talk about a culture war, Larkin. What culture war? That war ended half a century ago. We talk about education. What education war? That war ended back in the 60s and 70s when the teachers' union became the de facto legislators in all of these Democrat-run cities. What education war, Larkin? There is no war. It's over. So here's the good news. But there's some bad news in it, because the bad news, Mark, is that you're going to have to work for it. You want the good news? Instead of waging wars that are already over, wage new wars. That's why I say to everyone, what the hell is going on in your states, in your counties? What's going on with your school boards, your county commission? What is your legislature up to? What's your governor up to? Who gives a blank what Kevin McCarthy in California is doing, Larkin? Who cares?
Right.
What is Kevin McCarthy doing that affects you, Larkin, in St. Augustine? What has he done to make your life better? Nothing. I'm going to tell you who has worked to make life better here in Florida: our legislature and our governor. Now, Mark, I'm sorry for you, because you're in a state that is irreversibly blue state. There is no reversing it. You could lose probably half your population and still the vote blue, no matter who, no matter what cult will outnumber you.
Yep.
That's sad.
And you know, Mark,
Mark, when was the time to wage that war? 30 years ago.
Yep.
Right.
You know, Mark, I hate to.
So what? So Larkin, what? After Reagan won New York, what did the Republican Party do to keep New York red? You know what they did? They took endless victory laps, thinking that a bunch of Newark, New Jersey residents were going to come to New York to keep it red. These wars are all over, Michael. There are no more wars. You want a new one? You want trade in the schools? Go start a new war and wage it, because the other wars are done. Media war? What? What media war? What are we talking about, Larkin?
Well, you know,
these wars are over.
But here is something. You just said something very good, Rich. I want to tell, first of all, Mark, a lot of the New Yorkers are moving out to, from New York City area, moving out to Pennsylvania, Connecticut, New Jersey. They're running for
Michael,
their life.
Hold on, Michael.
The cost you're talking about, the cost going up in New York, everything is going to double within no time.
And Michael, how do you think a bunch of Brooklyn, New York, new Pennsylvanians are going to vote? You don't really think they're going to vote red to stay ahead, do you?
No.
You don't really think that.
No.
I don't think deep down you really believe that. All those, now our audio engineer sees it firsthand, and I happen to look at Pennsylvania because you guys are there, and I do care about how other states fare. I don't know, Michael, you guys got some people coming in. I'd be sounding the alarms if I were you guys. PA, just like I'm sounding the alarm with Larkin here in Florida.
Yep, they're moving into nice areas, the Poconos and everything else. It's almost unbelievable, but the people just want to escape unreality and New York has been unrealistic in a while. You know, gentlemen, I'd like to take these last few minutes of our broadcast to talk about Father's Day. I'm asking every father to take this opportunity to talk to their local politicians, some of their business people, at Speak Up Where You Shop, talk about more made in America, because our youth are going to be growing up and we don't want them to join this unbelievable amount of people that have no skills and are living in poverty. Now, we may not want that to happen, but it's a reality. The cost of everything is going up. In Philadelphia alone, fuel went up one full dollar in the last 6 months. One full dollar in the last 6 months. Now, as dads, and I want to compliment Henry Chaplinsky and his four kids, who I want to wish him a happy Father's Day. I know Larkin Conley has been a great dad, a great granddad. Thank you for all you do and for sharing your thoughts and your goodness with our people. Mark, I know your children are very proud of you, work with you. And Rich, the same thing. Your daughters have to grow up and have to know who they are and what they want to be. They're young enough for you to make a major impression. My daughters knew what they wanted to be. They're very successful. I'm very proud of them. And this is what it is. I want all of our children and our grandchildren to know what good leaders we were and then instill that upon their children in the future. Thank you all. God bless you. I also want to say, remember, if you're interested in that job fair this Saturday in Philadelphia, go to phillyshipyard.com. Mark, Larkin, Rich, Henry, all of you listening, all the dads and granddads in our audience, my best wishes to you. May God bless you, keep you healthy and happy. Spend your dollars on American made because you work very hard for them. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, have a great weekend. Stay well and be happy.
Have a great week, guys. Let's make made in America important again.